I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Inside School Food. I am Laura Stanley, and I'm really excited about today's episode, our third in a series of five we are airing in celebration of Farm to School Month 2014. If you want to catch up with the first two, you will find them on our website, insideschoolfood.com. So we began this series with a somewhat demanding conversation about farm-to-school procurement models, formal purchasing protocols that districts, their suppliers, and community partners need to understand if they want to take farm to school to the next level. And today we're doing another dense topic. It's actually denser, but our guests are here to help you find an easy way in. We're going to be talking about evaluation, by which I mean assessing social, environmental, economic, and public health impacts of farm to school, generating data about them and understanding it across all the sectors where stakeholders' passions, hopes, and values have led them to embrace farm to school. So with just a half an hour to take on this enormous topic, the best we can do today is get you introduced to the ideas and the tools. The tools are new, pioneering, and sophisticated. And my guests today are the leaders behind their development. We're going to begin with Anupama Joshi, who is executive director and co-founder of the National Farm to School Network, where she has been at the helm for more than 12 years. Anupama will be introducing us to the network's new farm-to-school evaluation framework. After station break, we'll be speaking with Lynn Kathleen of the Spark Policy Institute in Denver, Colorado, about Colorado farm-to-school's evaluation toolkit, which you can use to put into action the big ideas articulated by the framework. So, Anupama, we're so honored to have you on Inside School Food today. Welcome.
Thank you, Laura. It's an honor to be here, too.
Yeah. So a little bit about the network. It provides vision, leadership, and support to connect and strengthen the farm-to-school movement across the country. And as for you, before you founded the network, you worked on the international stage with the FAO at the UN and the Pesticide Action Network. And I just learned this morning that you published a book last year called Food Justice, and that's a topic I know we're going to touch on a little bit today. But first, I'd like to begin by asking you not just why the National Farm to School Network is emphasizing the need for evaluation, but why you're emphasizing it now. Why is now the moment for this?
That's a great question, Laura. As you know, Farm to School has grown rapidly over the last couple of years, from pilot projects in a few sites in the early 90s to thousands of schools implementing it. And we have over 40,000 schools in the country that are involved today in some sort of farm-to-school activity. We've also had USDA and CDC come to recognize the farm-to-school approach. So as the number of sites has increased across the country, so has the complexity of the types of activities that are conducted at different sites, and also we've seen an increase in institutional support, be it through policies or through funding mechanisms that are supporting farm to school. So the need for this resource right now is really important so that we can have common language, we can have common understanding and common metrics as we move forward with farm to school, because it is going to certainly be growing further in the next couple of years. So this is really a critical juncture, I think, in the movement where we really need to take stock of where we are and the growth that we've seen, and really lay down some commonalities and some common language and metrics for use in the coming years.
Right, right. And you titled the framework "Evaluation for Transformation." What is potentially transformative about using evaluation?
Mm-hmm. Evaluation, in my opinion, really should be viewed as a process, not as an end product or an afterthought of project activities. And evaluation can be transformative because if it is structured well, I believe that it can really shed light not just on the impacts of the work that you do, but also inform ways that you can improve your activities as well as honestly identify gaps for, you know, for where you need to go in the future. So for Farm to School, the name of the resource that we're going to be talking about today is Intentional Evaluation for Transformation, mm-hmm. because Farm to School is cross-sectoral, and by pushing evaluators and practitioners and researchers to think across common boundaries between sectors and between outcomes, we really can transform the way Farm to School is influencing sites and communities across the country. But we really need to be thinking about it in a different way, and hopefully this resource provides the guidance for doing that.
Right, right. So you talk a lot about sectors. Tell me which sectors you focus on.
Yeah, the evaluation framework decided, the people that developed the evaluation framework, which was a collaborative process, decided to focus on four key sectors that Farm to School touches upon: public health, community economic development, education, and environmental outcomes. As we know, Farm to School touches a wide variety of sectors, and a wide variety of outcomes are possible. And we decided to focus on these four sectors as the umbrella for holding all that can happen with Farm to School.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'd like to look at the origin story for this. I mean, we're kind of in the clouds here. This is a big high concept thing, but you didn't come up with this yourselves at the network. You involved a huge spread of stakeholders in coming up with the framework and really articulating what kind of problems it would solve. Can you tell us how it was born and how it came to be what it is now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've been involved in Farm to School, as you mentioned, for about a decade now. And as the movement has grown, I really have witnessed an increasing interest in this model from people from different sectors, as well as an interest in looking at different outcomes. So through the National Farm to School Network, we really see our role as a convener and leader in the field. And hence, we needed to respond to this need that we were hearing from the ground up. We were hearing that people needed guidance on, you know, what should they be considering when they start thinking about evaluation. So just like Farm to School at the local level where collaboration is key, this framework really could not have been developed any other way. It had to be an intensely collaborative process, and it spanned several years. It involved a lot of people informally over the years as we discussed the idea of Farm to School evaluation and common metrics and common language at different conferences and events where we were having this discussion. And then formally, we started this process in September 2013, almost about a year back or so, where over 50 people were involved that were experts in different sectors that I mentioned as mm-hmm. contributors to the framework or also as reviewers to the framework. And it was like piecing together a puzzle that made sense to everybody that was involved from across sectors, from across different user groups. And it needed to make sense to them from whatever angle they were entering Farm to School from, mm-hmm. For the resource to be successful. So in total, I would say more than 300 people have contributed to the resource, you know, either through discussions over the last couple of years or through an intense process that we followed over a year, year and a half. There's a little bit of something for everyone in the framework, and the framework is dense, but we've broken it up into bite-sized pieces for you as well that I can explain in a little bit.
Right, right. I think it's important to note that it is broken up into pieces because I think for someone approaching this for the first time, just digging in, starting to read from the beginning, it can be daunting. However, looking down the table of contents and understanding how it's broken out, and I think we should also mention that you've got these sector-specific briefs that are a fantastic way in and that I would recommend that people look at before they begin reading the framework.
Yeah, exactly. So the four sectors that I mentioned, the framework is structured around them. And so if readers would like to go to chapter four, which is really the meat of the framework, which is broken down by the sectors, you know, that's the way of starting. So if you're interested in, or you're approaching pharma schools from the public health angle, I would suggest go to chapter four, and within that go to public health. In addition to that, there also are sector briefs that have been made specifically for people that are looking at it from, you know, from a particular sector. So for public health, again, and for each of the sectors, there's a one-pager brief that is the place that you should start also. And then once you're familiar with that, you know, dig deeper into the larger document.
Right, right. So Anupama, I'd like to finish with sort of a big question. You know, anyone who gets involved in Farm to School, regardless of which of those four sectors they're coming from, they're driven by a passion over the values attached to Farm to School. And yet not everyone is emphasizing the same values at the same time or, you know, to the same extent. And I'm just wondering, how does having a framework, you know, in your view, over time, how will this facilitate conversation about what are the values behind Farm to School, and, you know, across sectors?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as we know, people approach Farm to School just because it is such a broad model that people can approach it from different angles, and people can approach it from, let's say, the public health angle or from a community economic development angle, both of which are connected, but they are distinctly different. And so as folks are looking at it from the public health angle, I think the framework provides for the same types of activities. The framework provides information and guidance on how the same activities are influencing public health outcomes that you are interested in, let's say, specifically, but that they are also the same activities that you're doing, you may not know, also have unintended consequences on community economic development, education, and environmental quality. So it is really providing an umbrella for folks to understand the gamut of things that can happen when they are doing some specific activities that are farm to school activities, and vice versa. You know, somebody might be interested in community economic development and realizes that, hey, this activity that I'm doing at my site actually has repercussions on environmental quality and education, and that's a great thing because you have a broader context in which you can talk about farm to school and your activities within that. I think equally important is that Farm to School is in some ways a food justice strategy as well. And mm-hmm. So we know that it has the potential to impact all kids, you know, irrespective of race, gender, socioeconomic status, and it provides the opportunity for them to access healthy local foods in schools and preschools, and that all farmers and processors and distributors should be able to access schools and preschool markets for viable income. However, I think we've really been intentional in this framework to make sure that we've included in each of our sector chapters and in each of the outcomes and indicators that we've listed in here, that we've included specific language around equity and around inclusion, mm-hmm. And we've incorporated suggestions from experts in the field who have combed through the document and suggested more inclusive language for each of the sectors. We feel that if we don't lay it out that way, that there is a danger of not looking at it or overlooking it, let's say. So, for example, within the community economic development sector, very broadly, our intended outcome is local and regional economic impact. But within that, I think specifically including language in the framework, which is what we've done, is to look at indicators such as the types of producers and processors that are benefiting from Farm to School, you know, gender, type of agricultural production, looking at the number of locally owned businesses that are created, owned by local individuals, looking at training opportunities that are created for socially disadvantaged farmers, let's say through Farm to School, through Fund the School activities that are happening. So specifically, you know, laying out the, in intentionally laying out these parameters of these indicators within the framework, I think provides further guidance so that as projects are looking at evaluation or as funders are looking at what they should be asking their grantees to do, that these are you know, documented here, that they should be looking at. Of course, you know, each program decides on their own what they should be looking at and what's feasible for them. But by having it in the framework here, I think it's pushing the needle in terms of what projects and what funders and you know, policymakers should be striving for with regards to farm to school data.
Right. That's exciting, a food justice agenda. It's very exciting, Anupama. You know, I'm afraid we have to stop here, though we could easily go on for another hour. And I strongly encourage folks to look at the framework and the briefs that we mentioned, which will be posted along with this episode on InsideSchoolFood.com. Anupama, I hope you will join us again on Inside School Food to talk more about evaluation and much more than that.
I would love to. Thank you, Laura.
We have been speaking with Anupama Joshi of the National Farm to School Network about the recently released Evaluation for Transformation, a framework about the very wide spectrum of people engaged in farm to school can use to come together over a shared need for common language, common protocols, and so on. As I said, you can find links to everything on our website. I encourage you to sign up for our newsletter while you are there. You are listening to Inside School Food on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Laura Stanley. Please stick around. After station break, our next guest will introduce you to the very user-friendly evaluation toolkit just released by the Colorado Farm to School Task Force.
Today's program was brought to you by Rolling Press. Rolling Press is a family-run digital and offset printhouse that brings together eco-friendly methods, ethical practices, and personalized service. Using environmentally responsible papers, non-toxic inks, and wind power, Rolling Press represents the harmony of traditional craftsmanship and mindful sustainability. Rolling Press offers advice on reducing paper waste and energy consumption, helping you save money and minimize your carbon footprint. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
Welcome back to Inside School Food. We're talking today about evaluation of farm-to-school programming, which is a necessity now that the movement has grown so big and spread so widely. We spent the first half of the show looking at the big picture from 60,000 feet up. So now let's return to Earth and investigate what evaluation can look like in practice. I have on the line Dr. Lynn Kathleen, who is Senior Research Associate at the SPARC Policy Institute. SPARC is a national leader in evaluation in quote, messy, that's how they put it, messy settings like advocacy, systems change, social movements, and public will building. Based in Denver, SPARC partnered with the Colorado Farm to School Task Force in the creation of a new user-friendly farm-to-school evaluation toolkit that Lynn is going to tell us about. Lynn has been working in academic and applied public policy research for more than 25 years with a focus on community action and social justice. She tells me that toolkits like this one are a valuable resource for communities that don't have access to outside consultants to help them with assessment. Spark aims to make them easy for busy people to use. Do I have that right, Lynn?
Yes, you do.
Well, and welcome to Inside School Food.
Thank you, Laura.
Let's start out, like in any given school district, who is typically taking care of the evaluation?
Well, for any given school district, the person that would most likely be tackling this evaluation is really going to be anyone who is busy implementing a farm-to-school program. And so it could be the food service director or his or her staff that might say, you know what, we've been procuring some local apples and some romaine lettuce, and we really want to try and begin to understand, you know, is this working for with our producers? Because it was a pretty complicated bid system that we had to go through, or maybe the delivery to our docks is complicated. There could be a lot of different things that they're like, you know, we want to make sure it's working for them because we want to continue on this. So it could be that person. It could also be your school garden leader. Your school garden leader could be a food core service member, mm-hmm. or it could be a teacher, it could be a volunteer. Any of those people who are involved in the farm to school program are likely the ones to say, you know what, we need to know more, and we need to know it in a systematic way.
Right. And let's open up the toolkit. What's in there?
Oh, well, the toolkit, that's a big question, but I will get right down to it. So the toolkit actually has, it's broken into parts, and the reason we break it into parts is so that, you don't have to use every single part of the toolkit. So it does have an overview on how you walk through. So there's basically six steps to implementing your farm-to-school program. This overview is only 8 pages long. It's very readable. It has little links throughout that will take you to the resources you need. We have an evaluation plan template. Again, this is a very simple thing. It simply walks you through the steps that go along with that overview, where you'll just literally fill it out as you read and you start to work with your evaluation team on that. And then we have what we call our attachments, which are really the outcomes for any given group that you might be wanting to focus on. And we've really identified 7 main groups that are affected by farm-to-school programming.
Mm-hmm. And what are those 7 groups?
So the 7 groups are students, unsurprisingly, mm-hmm. but also parents and teachers, food service staff and operations, producers, school leadership, and community members. All of them have important role for farm to school, and important impacts can happen for them.
Right. So, 7 groups of people in considering, say I'm from a district where we haven't conducted evaluation before and we're trying to figure out our way in. Do we need to take all of these different groups of people into account in launching our evaluation?
No, not at all. In fact, one of the things we really stress in the toolkit and in our online webinar trainings, which we'll talk about at the end, mm-hmm. is the importance of really narrowing your evaluation. I mean, the reality is that you can go crazy, but going crazy doesn't get you the answers. And so there are things, and we walk you through how to focus and how to figure out what specifically do you need to know now, mm-hmm. and what is realistic to know. And our toolkit gets you into that very practical realm. So no, you're not dealing with all the outcomes, and you're not dealing with all of those potential people who could be affected.
Right, right. So possible to start small. I think to even make your explanation more concrete, let's look at one of those 7 groups. Let's make it food service. You've offer a lot of possible areas that could be evaluated. What are some of those, and do we have to take on all of them for starters?
No, and in fact, I think in food services, it's a great example, as are students and so on. We actually have quite a lot of outcomes that we have identified, and the reason for this is because really farm-to-school evaluation, though it's in a sense new, it has largely focused on food services and students, and so there's a lot of well-developed outcomes in there. Having said that, there's no one program that would actually be addressing all of these outcomes. So let me give you an example. In food services, you might be saying, you know what, I've got my staff now trained up to be working with the local produce, to be, you know, really doing scratch cooking, and to be going out into the cafeteria, you know, during lunch hour and so on, and, you know, selling the food, walking around, talking to the kids and so on. So you might want to know just where are your, you know, where's your staff on this whole farm-to-school programming? So, you know, do they have an increased knowledge and interest in local food preparation? And the reason that these kinds of things can be really important is because ultimately farm-to-school is as much about educating, promoting, being enthusiastic with the kids and the parents and the teachers as it is about just the practical parts of it. And so if your staff is like, yes, this is so great, you know, I just love when I go out and see the kids are eating, you know, that chili that we made and we're using the, and, you know, they know because we're talking to them and we used our local tomatoes and we used some local kidney beans that we cooked up and so on. They're really excited about that. And your staff is excited. That's important to learn, and you can do that through surveys with your staff. You can do it with interviews with your staff. We have all the instruments that you would need.
Right, right. So you're offering districts a way to quantify this stuff, and I'm assuming this is because it's not only for the benefit of figuring out what's working and how to grow your program, but this is data that, you know, your funders and prospective funders are going to want to be looking at.
It's definitely true. One of the first things we talk about in the toolkit is that there really are three main purposes for doing an evaluation. And the first one, and I think we often think of it this way, but you tapped into a second one, which is the first one is really program evaluation. So that's those kinds of things where you're just trying to figure out, you know, is this working? Like the example I gave about, you know, are the producers, you know, comfortable with the bid process that we're using and so on, because that's important. Otherwise, they're not going to come back to the table. And so that's about your program. But then there's also the importance of providing information to your funders. So those funders could be somebody who has already given you maybe a grant for your school garden and is requiring that you give information back to them about its success. Or it could be for potential funders. So it might be that, you know, you've got a little school garden started and you really want to put school gardens in all of your schools, all of your elementary schools, let's say. So you want to show funders, potential funders, the, you know, how this school garden can really help your students across the district. And then the last one is what we really call information for stakeholders. And the idea here is that really farm to school is, in the same way that it touches those seven groups, those are all of your stakeholders, because in order for it to be long-term and sustainable, people really have to know why it's important. And so it could be the school administration, it could be your parents, it could be other community members, because you want to demonstrate to them that, you know, it's important for them to help you continue to interest more producers, help in the school garden maybe, whatever. And so information to stakeholders can be a key component.
And I just, you know, quickly, Lynn, if you could comment on, you know, because this all sounds like a lot of work, and yet when I look at the toolkit and I listen to your webinar, it's obvious that there are easy access, low overhead ways in, and there's ways that all these different groups we're talking about can participate or drive the work. Say I'm the food service director in a small rural district, 2,000 kids. I'm doing great work in farm to school, but, you know, it's me and the bookkeeper doing everything. Can I use this?
Oh, you definitely can use it. So one of the things, again, that is important is that you're never just your own person. And, in fact, no evaluation goes all that well if there's only one person involved.
Mm-hmm.
You really need, you know, kind of that multiple brains, multiple people. And so we talk about who should be on your evaluation team and how you go about putting together the team. And so just, you know, kind of really quickly, obviously, you would want to be tapping anybody who is directly aware and maybe participating in one way or another within the farm to school. Recruit them onto it. You also want to bring in, say, a couple of those people that might be that stakeholders that you're really interested in sharing the information with, because, you know, what you want is if you really want to show it to your school principal, you want your school principal to be involved at least just in some brainstorming so that they, one, will be getting what they want out of it, so you know that you're asking the right questions. And also it creates a buy-in, and it just creates a better outcome. And then the last thing is that while the toolkit is designed for non-researchers, non-evaluators, we recognize that, in fact, those small school districts and anybody who's just simply busy, and evaluation is not their main mm-hmm. thing that they do, they can always be helped by having somebody who has some research skills. We have incredibly practical advice and direction in one of the appendices of how you go about finding and recruiting free research help from, say, one of your local higher education, which can be your community college. It doesn't have to be your university,
mm-hmm.
And how you can utilize that, and it will really benefit and make your evaluation just seamless and easy to implement.
Right. And speaking of seamless and easy to implement, you mentioned that you are putting on a webinar series, and I really would like listeners to know about that. You've done it live once, and you're about to do it live again, and it's also archived. Can you quickly tell us what it is and when we can tune in?
Yes, absolutely. So we have a 2-year USDA Farm to School grant to do this training and roll out our toolkit nationwide. And the webinar series consists of 5 webinars. The next series begins on October 23rd, and you can go to our website to sign up for them, which is Colorado Farm to School, and then look for evaluation, the evaluation tab, and you'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have are 5 of them, and their titles are is exactly what it sounds like, which is the first one is Getting Started on Your Farm to School Evaluation. We literally, like, these are interactive. You pull out that evaluation template. We do a little bit of slides and training, and then we say, okay, time to stop. We do a little bit of polling. People then have an opportunity to share what it is they're going to do, what is their purpose, what activity are they doing, who are they going to recruit. Then the next one is on outcomes, indicators, and measures, which we always say is the scary part.
Mm-hmm.
Evaluation speak, we totally take that down and get rid of the scariness of outcomes, indicators, and measures. We talk about in the third one about choosing and adapting tools. All of the tools you need are in place. They're existing, but of course, there's no existing tool that may be perfect. And so we teach you very simple ways of how you adapt it and then how you ensure or test it, easy testing methods to make sure it's going to do what you need it to do for yours. The fourth one is about how you collect and how you analyze that data. Again, a scary idea, but there's great free resources, and analyzing the data doesn't have to be, you know, rocket science.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about some very basic things and some great graphics that you can literally do online through free tools. And then the last one is how you report results and thinking about the different audiences. So we really encourage people to look and to join our live webinars. Of course, you can go look at the archived ones, and that's fine, too. There are 3 major benefits to joining the live ones. The first is that you are eligible for 5 contact hours of continuing education for participating in the 5 live webinars. And that comes from 2 different groups, the Commission on Dietetic Registration, or you can get it through Metropolitan State University of Denver, which issues a certificate that is accepted by many professional associations.
Mm-hmm.
The second is that you can join our Google group for peer-to-peer learning with all the other participants that have been on the webinars. And then the last and exciting is that you are eligible to receive up to 4 hours of technical assistance from us, Spark Policy Institute, as you develop and implement your evaluation.
That that's a really exciting perk. So I would encourage folks to go to the link that Dr. Kathleen mentioned, or you can find it on our website, insideschoolfood.com. I'll have links to the upcoming live webinar as well as the archive there, and all of the toolkit resources, and a link to the evaluation framework that we introduced in the first half of the show. It's all there. Lynn, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
We have been speaking with Dr. Lynn Kathleen of the Spark Policy Institute about the new toolkit for farm-to-school evaluation from the Colorado Farm to School Task Force. You've been listening to Inside School Food on the Heritage Radio Network. I am Laura Stanley. Next week, we continue our exploration of farm to school with a visit to Georgia, where an awards program that recognizes great work in farm to school is helping to drive system change.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.